Love and obsession blur in the shadows of Silver Falls, where the Silver Snake River divides more than just geography. Beautiful Fiend has captivated readers since its release, becoming a book talk sensation with over 500 million views under its hashtag. This dark romance has earned praise from celebrities like Megan Fox, who called it disturbingly addictive in her Instagram book club. The novel's exploration of power dynamics and redemption through pain has sparked heated debates about the portrayal of toxic relationships in fiction. Author Lola King, who maintains a mysterious public persona, reportedly drew inspiration from her own experiences growing up in a crime-ridden neighborhood, though she refuses to specify which elements are autobiographical. The book's unflinching approach to trauma and healing has made it both controversial and beloved, a story that pulls you into its darkness and refuses to let go. Silver Falls exists as two distinct worlds, separated by the Silver Snake River, a physical boundary that marks deeper social, economic, and moral divides. The South Side embodies the quintessential American dream, with its manicured lawns, white picket fences, and pristine suburban developments where children safely ride their bikes and neighbors host weekend barbecues. In stark contrast, the North Shore presents a labyrinth of decaying infrastructure, abandoned factories, and territories marked by graffiti tags that serve as warning signs to outsiders. Two powerful gangs dominate the North Shore's criminal landscape, their influence extending far beyond simple street warfare. The Kings of the North Shore, under the iron-fisted rule of the King family dynasty, control the western territories with brutal efficiency. Their operation encompasses everything from protection rackets to high-stakes gambling and human trafficking. The North Shore Crew, NSC, led by the Scott family, maintains a stranglehold on the eastern sector, specializing in drug distribution and money laundering. These local powers serve as street-level enforcers for larger criminal enterprises. The NSC operates under the protection of the Italian Bianco crime family, while the Kings maintain a lucrative partnership with the Russian Bratva, known as the Wolves, who supply weapons and launder money through legitimate businesses. The balance of power shifts seismically during the annual Death Cage Tournament, an underground fighting event where gang disputes are settled through brutal combat. The death of Jake White, NSC's champion fighter, in a match marked by suspicious circumstances, tips the scales decisively in favor of the Kings. This event becomes a catalyst for change throughout Silver Falls' criminal ecosystem, forcing smaller gangs to choose sides and creating dangerous power vacuums in contested territories. Against this backdrop emerge our protagonists, Billy Scott and Caden King. Billy, a rising star in underground MMA circuits, trains relentlessly in a decrepit gym, viewing fighting as her ticket to legitimacy and escape from the North Shore's cycle of violence. Caden King, groomed since childhood to inherit his family's criminal empire, projects an aura of unpredictable violence that makes even hardened criminals wary. Their paths collide violently in the aftermath of the Death Cage fight, where Caden's sexual assault of Billy, filmed as insurance against retaliation, becomes both a power play and a psychological wound that will define their complex relationship. This opening sequence establishes the novel's commitment to exploring darkness without redemptive filters. Unlike conventional dark romance tropes, where anti-heroes retain some moral center, Caden emerges as morally pitch black, a product of generational violence who views brutality as his birthright. The assault serves multiple narrative functions. It's an inciting incident that sets the plot in motion, a demonstration of the power dynamics at play, and a traumatic bond that will complicate both characters' arcs. Within this brutal landscape, both Billy and Caden secretly nurture dreams of escape, she through legitimate fighting success, he through expanding the King's influence beyond Silver Falls, creating an underlying tension that will eventually force them to confront whether their fates can truly intertwine without destroying them both. 2 years after their initial encounter, Caden King moves between worlds with calculated precision. By day, he tutors wealthy students in Stoneview while secretly robbing their homes. By night, he rules the violent streets of North Shore with his friends Elliot and Ethan. His father challenges him to find someone willing to transport arms between the Russian wolves and their distributors, a task that will eventually lead him back to Billy. Meanwhile, Billy trains relentlessly at Dickie's gym, focused entirely on her professional MMA aspirations. She lives a disciplined life, caring for her recovering addict mother and maintaining distance from the illegal fights that could jeopardize her career. When her stepbrother Z asks her to pick up drugs from a traumatized dealer, she reluctantly agrees, a decision that sends her directly into Caden's path once again. Their reunion occurs when Billy, fleeing from police, stumbles into King's territory and is discovered by Caden in his backyard. The power dynamic is immediately established. Caden blackmails her with a humiliating video from 2 years ago, forcing her to agree to drive for an illegal job. "I order, you obey. Period," he tells her, choking her against her car to establish dominance. What makes this relationship dynamic particularly complex is how the narrative doesn't shy away from the conflicting emotions. During their first job together, Caden sexually assaults Billy again, forcing her to orgasm despite her protests. Yet the writing captures her body's betrayal of her mind, physical pleasure mixed with psychological revulsion. This creates the central tension that will drive their relationship, an unwanted attraction to someone who represents everything she should hate. The predator-prey dynamic extends beyond sexual encounters. Caden stalks Billy, breaks into her home, and marks her body with visible hickeys to ensure everyone knows she belongs to him. Yet beneath his possessive, violent exterior, we glimpse moments of vulnerability. His fascination with her determination, his admiration for her fighting skills, and eventually, his willingness to sacrifice himself for her dreams. Billy's identity is inextricably tied to her fighting career. In the cage, she channels her rage into devastating her opponents, earning the nickname Unbeatable Billy with her fourth consecutive win and third TKO. Her coach, Dickie, a war veteran who found redemption through boxing after losing his family, represents her chance at legitimacy. When professional MMA agent Taylor Davis offers to represent her, conditional on her winning against the local champion, Killer Clover, and staying out of trouble, Billy sees her ticket out of North Shore. This dream becomes the central tension in her relationship with Caden. Every interaction with him threatens her chance at escape. His criminal activities could destroy her professional aspirations, yet she finds herself increasingly drawn to him. After being forced to transport drugs for the Kings, she's caught between gang rivalries and her fighting aspirations, a conflict that tears at her sense of identity. Caden's obsession with Billy transcends typical romantic interest. He murders three men for merely touching her, frames NSC for the killings, and declares possessively that she's his despite their rival gang affiliations. When his friends question his fixation on an NSC girl, he remains unmoved. His obsession manifests in increasingly disturbing ways. He forces her to crawl on all fours in front of his friends and family as punishment, yet later risks everything to help her achieve her dreams. The narrative explores how trauma bonds can form between predator and prey. During one particularly intense scene, Caden takes Billy to the forest, blindfolds her, makes her drink whiskey, and explains his dark desires. "I'm turned on by your helplessness." He orders her to run into the dark forest while he hunts her, eventually catching her and taking her on the forest floor. Yet in this moment of extreme vulnerability, he confesses he's in love with her, a declaration that shifts their dynamic fundamentally. This complex interplay between violence and tenderness, control and surrender, creates a relationship that defies simple categorization. It raises uncomfortable questions about consent, power, and whether love can truly redeem someone capable of such darkness. The novel takes a surprising turn when we discover the lengths Caden will go to help Billy achieve her dreams. After learning that her fighting career is in jeopardy, he visits her competitor Carla Rupert and offers to pay $30,000 if she'll withdraw from the competition, allowing Billy's win to stand. When Carla agrees but demands payment up front, Caden makes a devastating choice. He agrees to participate in a degrading sex party organized by Stoneview elites that pays $25,000. This sacrifice represents a fundamental shift in Caden's character. The man who once used sex as a weapon of control now subjects himself to sexual humiliation and abuse to help the woman he loves. During the horrific night at the Baker Mansion, he endures being used by various couples, some gentle, others cruel, while mentally escaping by thinking of Billy. One particularly sadistic couple forces him into degrading acts while he fantasizes about finding and killing them both once it's over. Meanwhile, Billy remains unaware of his sacrifice. When she's tricked by Sawyer and Jade into believing she stole merchandise from the Kings, she's beaten severely and has the King's crown carved into her neck. Believing Caden betrayed her, she breaks off their relationship, unaware that he was enduring sexual torture to help her at that very moment. This misunderstanding creates the novel's central crisis. Caden returns home to discover Billy's desperate messages, realizes Sawyer tricked her, and rushes to her house despite the pouring rain. Her family violently confronts him. Emma accuses him, Z and Lyke beat him, and he doesn't fight back. When Billy appears, badly injured, with a swollen eye, he falls to his knees, professing his love, but she asks him to leave. The price of redemption becomes explicit when Ethan finally reveals to Billy what Caden had been doing in Stoneview, sacrificing himself to help her. This revelation comes just before her crucial fight against Killer Clover, adding emotional weight to her performance in the ring. The fight itself becomes a metaphor for their relationship, brutal, painful, but ultimately transformative. The novel's climactic fight scene serves as both literal and metaphorical resolution, unfolding in the gritty underground arena where Billy has built her new identity. Killer Clover, known for her ruthless ground game and psychological warfare, proves to be Billy's most formidable opponent yet. The fight begins with Billy showcasing her technical prowess, precise hooks and devastating combinations that draw gasps from the crowd. However, when Clover manages to take her down, Billy faces her greatest weakness, ground combat. The suffocating pressure of Clover's chokehold triggers memories of past trauma, yet Billy channels this into raw determination, transforming her fear into explosive power. Throughout the brutal exchange, Caden watches from the shadows of the crowd, having secretly attended every one of her matches for the past 2 months. His presence, though distant, carries weight. He stayed away not out of indifference, but from a deep understanding that his proximity could derail her healing journey. The underground fighting circuit has become Billy's sanctuary, her path to reclaiming power, and Caden refuses to taint that with his complicated presence. Their eyes lock during a crucial moment in the fight, a split second that speaks volumes. Caden's simple command to end it carries the weight of their shared history. This brief connection ignites something primal in Billy, leading to a devastating combination, a perfectly timed right hook followed by a brutal elbow strike that leaves Clover unconscious on the mat. The victory should be triumphant, but Billy's immediate search for Caden in the crowd reveals her true priority. Caden's retreat into the crowd exemplifies his evolution from the controlling force he once was. The man who previously manipulated through violence and fear now shows his love through sacrifice, believing that his absence is the greatest gift he can offer. This selfless act represents a profound transformation in his character, though it's lined with the same darkness that defines him. Billy's pursuit through the rain-slicked parking lot becomes symbolic of their entire relationship. She refuses to let darkness slip away into darkness. When she confronts him, her declaration of knowing everything carries the weight of both his crimes and his capacity for change. Despite Caden's attempts to push her away by cataloging his sins, the manipulation, the violence, the control, Billy stands firm. Her plea, "Be mine, Caden, be my villain," acknowledges that she sees him completely, both the monster and the man. This acceptance marks the novel's emotional peak, made more powerful by its complexity. Caden's response, "My heart is yours, little bee. It only loves because you showed it how to," reveals the depth of his transformation while acknowledging its source. Their reconciliation doesn't pretend to be a fairy tale ending. Instead, it embraces the reality that some wounds become part of who we are.
The novel's unflinching examination of their reunion challenges conventional romance tropes. These are two people forged in trauma's fire, finding solace in their mutual understanding of darkness. Their love isn't presented as aspirational or even healthy. It's portrayed as inevitable, like gravity pulling together two broken stars. The story suggests that sometimes understanding comes not from the light, but from recognizing the shadows within each other.
The novel's final act tests the limits of their bond when Caden reveals Sawyer chained in the basement, emaciated after 2 months of torture. He demands Billy kills Sawyer for revenge, and to her shock, she complies, strangling him while repeating his own threatening words back to him. This moment represents her full embrace of Caden's world, crossing a moral line she can never uncross. After disposing of the body, they're spotted by police for a broken headlight, the same issue Caden had promised to fix when they first reconnected. During a desperate car chase, Caden leads them to a dead end where she waits. Despite Billy's protests, Caden forces her to leave with She while he stays behind with the body, sacrificing himself to protect her freedom and career. This sacrifice represents the culmination of his redemption arc. The man who once used Billy for his pleasure now gives up his freedom for her future. As police arrest him, Billy is devastated, believing this might be the last time she ever sees him. The epilogue jumps forward a year and a half. Billy has achieved her dream, fighting in the Contender Series and winning her UFC contract. She sent money to help her mother get psychiatric treatment and a cottage, though her father and sister refused to leave the North Shore crew. Despite her success, she still searches for Caden's face in every crowd, knowing he's serving a life sentence for first-degree murder. The novel's final twist comes when Billy returns to her Brooklyn apartment at 4 a.m. to find Caden waiting. The charges were dropped when her attorney discovered the marks on Sawyer's neck matched a woman's hands, not Caden's. Their reunion is passionate and immediate, his possessiveness returning as he claims her against the wall. On her balcony afterward, Caden proposes with a plastic ring from a water bottle, promising her the world when he's back on his feet. They talk all night about everything, his prison time, her fights, their future. As they watch the sunrise together, they both agree. The sun is shining again, despite everything. Beautiful Fiend challenges readers with its unflinching portrayal of a relationship born from trauma and violence that somehow transforms into something redemptive. The novel doesn't excuse Caden's initial assaults or subsequent controlling behavior, but instead explores how people can change through love while acknowledging that some wounds never fully heal. Through carefully crafted scenes, like Caden's nightmares about his past actions and Billy's recurring panic attacks, the story illustrates how trauma leaves permanent marks even as healing begins. What makes the story particularly complex is how it portrays Billy's agency. She's not a passive victim, but a fighter in every sense, physically powerful, mentally determined, and emotionally resilient. Her martial arts training, successful business ventures, and fierce protection of her independence demonstrate this strength. Her eventual choice to accept Caden comes not from Stockholm Syndrome, but from recognizing the lengths he went to support her dreams, even at great personal cost, including taking a bullet meant for her and sacrificing his family connections to ensure her safety. The novel also explores how environments shape morality through its vivid portrayal of the North Shore's underground economy and social dynamics. In this lawless territory, conventional ethics give way to survival. Both protagonists are products of this environment. Caden's violence stems from his upbringing in a criminal family, while Billy's toughness comes from fighting her way out of poverty. Their relationship, with all its dysfunction, makes sense within this context. The author details specific instances of how their harsh upbringing shaped them, from Caden's first murder at 16 to Billy's years living in her car while pursuing her education. Perhaps most provocatively, the story suggests that sometimes only someone who has experienced similar darkness can truly understand and accept another's wounds. Billy and Caden's connection works because they recognize each other's capacity for both violence and tenderness. Their love isn't portrayed as healthy by conventional standards, but as inevitable.
two broken pieces that somehow fit together. This is demonstrated through intimate moments where they share their darkest secrets and accept each other without judgment, like when Billy confesses to a violent act from her past and Caden responds with understanding rather than horror. The sunrise they watch together in the final scene symbolizes their journey from darkness to light, with the author carefully noting how the golden rays illuminate their scars, both physical and emotional. Not a perfect healing or a conventional happy ending, but a hard-won second chance built on sacrifice, understanding, and the acceptance of each other's damaged parts. The novel's conclusion shows them planning a future together while still attending therapy and working through their issues, suggesting that redemption isn't a destination, but an ongoing journey. It's a challenging conclusion that asks readers to consider whether redemption is possible, even for those who have committed unforgivable acts, and whether love can truly transform even the darkest hearts, while acknowledging that such transformation requires constant work and vigilance. Throughout Beautiful Fiend, both protagonists carry deep psychological wounds that influence their behaviors and choices in profound and complex ways. Billy's determination to escape North Shore through fighting represents her attempt to reclaim control after Caden's initial assault. Her disciplined training regimen and obsessive focus on her fighting career become sophisticated coping mechanisms, ways to channel her trauma into something productive while building both physical and emotional armor. This manifests in her ritualistic preparation before matches, the way she meticulously wraps her hands, and her habit of running until exhaustion when memories threaten to overwhelm her. Caden's obsession with Billy stems partly from his own deeply damaged psyche. Raised in a violent criminal family where love was weaponized and tenderness viewed as weakness, he knows only control and dominance as expressions of desire. His eventual willingness to sacrifice himself for her represents his first genuine experience of selfless love, a transformative shift from viewing relationships as transactions to understanding them as connections. When he brushes Billy's hair and reveals his childhood memory of brushing his sister's hair, the only peaceful memory with my mother, we glimpse the wounded child beneath the violent exterior. This moment resonates particularly because it shows how trauma creates ripples across generations, with violence learned and perpetuated until someone breaks the cycle. The novel doesn't suggest their relationship heals these wounds completely. Instead, it portrays healing as an ongoing, non-linear process that requires unflinching acknowledgement of past harm. When Caden tries to push Billy away by reminding her of all the ways he hurt her, the initial assault, the stalking, the psychological manipulation, she doesn't deny or minimize his actions. Instead, she accepts his darkness while recognizing his capacity for change. Be mine, Caden. Be my villain. This acceptance isn't about forgiveness or forgetting, but about choosing to move forward with clear eyes. This nuanced approach to trauma and healing avoids simplistic resolutions. Neither character is magically fixed by love or redeemed through suffering. Billy still carries the physical scars from Jade's knife and the psychological scars from Caden's assault, evidenced in her persistent nightmares and inability to sleep with her back to doors. Cadence still struggles with violent impulses and possessiveness, catching himself in moments of rage and having to consciously choose different responses. Yet, together, they find a way forward that acknowledges rather than erases their damaged pasts, building trust through small daily choices rather than grand gestures. In the final scene, as they watch the sunrise from Billy's Brooklyn apartment, their agreement that the sun is shining again, despite everything, captures this complex reality. The despite everything acknowledges the weight they still carry, the violence, the trauma, the moral compromises that can never be undone. Yet the sunrise suggests that even with these burdens, renewal remains possible. Not perfect healing, but the chance to build something new from the broken pieces of their past, creating a future that honors their scars while refusing to be defined by them.